now, tomorrow, believer, next year, believer, 10 years, believer, until the very last day that you close your eyes in death, if you are a genuine, true believer in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. It's great having you tuning in for Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of Romans. The teaching today is from chapter 8, and Pastor has entitled this message, The Law of the Spirit of Life. Now, Pastor.
Amen. Let's turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans this morning. If you're visiting with us or tuning in live for the very first time, we've spent about 14 weeks in this incredible book. We're doing an in-depth study of the book of Romans, one of the greatest 16 chapters ever written on the face of the planet. And, you know, remember now, chapter 6, 7, and 8, they are one continuous thought. In the Greek, there's not like a chapter break that man has put in there. It's one long thought, if you will. And it has to do with the doctrine of sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to produce holiness and produce Christ's likeness. It's where we're being changed as we progress, okay, from glory to glory to glory into the same image as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this incredible chapter, as you already know, it begins with no condemnation to the believer. It ends in verse 39. With no separation to the believer. That means forever and ever and ever. And in between these 39 verses, there is not one word of defeat. Amen? And that is our life that we have. The Holy Spirit, which has not been mentioned, or maybe mentioned, I believe, once in Romans so far in the last 7 chapters, now Paul is going to use the phrase or the wording Holy Spirit 21 times in this chapter, and it's very important. I want to speak to you this morning. Remember last Sunday, we talked about the law of sin. If you were not here for chapter 7, I encourage you to either go online and listen to it, watch it, or go to the bookstore, pick you up a CD. It's very important because if you get 7, then you'll get chapter 8. Does that make sense? Okay, with all that being said now, what I'd like to do as we talk about this new law that we have, the law of the Spirit of life, I want you to begin, though, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. Let's kind of do a quick review before we get into our text. Paul continues to write here, and he says, I see another law. Remember, that wasn't the law of Moses. Another law in my members. In other words, in his flesh, in his old man. And look what it's doing. It's warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the what? The law of sin. That's what we talked about last Sunday, the law of sin. And look where it's located. The law of sin in our old man, in our nature, if you will, our old nature. It's in our unredeemed flesh. Now, he says here, this other law, which is never at rest in every person, this struggle that goes on, this evil that is always present with us, this law of sin, if you will, it's always warring against the law of every believer's mind. It's always telling us that, you know, you're going to be a slave to that desire. You'll never overcome lying. You'll never overcome being a gossip, or you'll never overcome some addiction or whatever. You know, you're always going to be the prisoner of sin. That is a lie from hell. Amen? And we're going to find out why. And this other law, of course, we learned the name last Sunday. It's called the law of sin. This law of sin that works in our flesh, if you will, that old Adamic nature, that old man, even though sin does no longer have dominion over us, it doesn't rule over us, he tries to come back and rule our lives. And the law of sin, it commands us, it tries to command us, it tries to urge us to do what is against God. In other words, to commit sin. And that's the struggle. That's why Paul cried out in the next verse, he said, "O wretched man that I am." In other words, the word wretched carries the idea of struggle, struggling to the point to where you're just totally exhausted, trying to live for God in the flesh, but yet you are always failing. That's what Paul is saying here. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says this, who will deliver, who will rescue me from this body of death, meaning this mass of sin, this old junk, this old man that lives still here trying to hold on to us, you know? In other words, he says, I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I am chained, if you will, to a foul, dead corpse, an old man. This evil is present with me all the time. It's attacking my mind. It's always trying to get me to do what is wrong. And he says, who's going to deliver me? In other words, I need help. I need help beyond myself because I do not have the strength to do this. Who is going to enable me to live for God? Who's going to enable me to live a life that is pleasing in his sight? Now, with all that being said, remember last Sunday, I said if we stop right there at that verse, we have no answer for the struggle. But again, there's no chapter break. So this verse goes right into chapter 8, verse 1, as we begin our study. Because if we're going to deal with the law of sin, we must have a higher law that supersedes it. Amen? Now let's begin. Romans 8, 1. Paul says, there is therefore now, right this minute, forever, there is no condemnation, there is no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully. You must get this. I know you know it, but don't let, because you think you know it all, say, well, I've already heard this. I already have it down. No, no, no. We don't have it down. We need to relive this, re-embrace this. We need to rethink this. We need to relearn this. Amen? He says, listen. He says, right now, verse 1 tells us this. Now, believer. Tomorrow, believer. Next year, believer. 10 years, believer. Until the very last day that you close your eyes in death, if you are a genuine, true believer in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. That is our victory that we have in Christ Jesus. In other words, what does that mean? There's no punishment. There's no judicial decision that's going to say, God says, I condemn you because you blew it. You sinned. No, no condemnation means no punishment for sins that we have committed, that we will commit, or that we ever will commit to the very last day of our life. That doesn't give us a license to sin because we don't want to do that. Amen? But what it does, it says this, I'm not holding any of that against you. Not any of it at all. Now listen, do you know what God just said? He says, it is impossible for me, if you are in my Son, Christ Jesus, it is impossible for me, God says, to find one unrighteous thing in you. Can you really live with that? Think about that for a moment. Bill, that's just too much for me. No, 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 no. Listen, that's the position of the believer. You see, our position is absolutely perfect in Christ because he's perfect. Amen? In other words, when we believed in our hearts by faith, God, remember what he did, that judicial decision, which we call justification, just as if I'd never sinned, he declared the believing sinner righteous in his eyes. In other words, he imputed, not imparted, he imputed unto you the spotless, sinless record of another into your account, meaning Jesus Christ. And when God sees you, he sees you now, your position is absolutely perfect and can never be changed before Almighty God. That's justification. Do you understand? And the reason that it's like that, our position is perfect, is because number one, you're in Christ. But number two, Jesus paid for all your sin upon the cross. Amen? See, we're just reviewing what we've already learned there. Now listen, does that mean since we are suffering no condemnation now, never to be punished for our sins, Christ was punished for our sins, if you will. He bore our sins, all of mankind's sins. Now does that mean, though, the absence of God's divine discipline in our life? No. You start blowing it, guess what he's going to do? He's going to punch you. No. No, listen. God chastens, God disciplines, God trains those that he loves. He loves you. If you're a son or daughter, you're out there doing the things that are wrong. You're sitting here today and you've been doing stuff. Listen, he knows. You can't get away from the Father. You remember the movie Father Knows Best? He knows best. He is watching. He knows everything, loved one. But listen to me now. This is so important this morning. If you don't truly believe the divine truth, the divine fact in verse 1, if you don't believe that, you've just removed your incredible, unbelievable foundation, and you're going to stifle all of your spiritual progress in Christ. Does that make sense? This is something you have to believe this. And you say, well, Bill, I don't get it, you know, because I mean, I struggle. Of course you do. There's a law in you, the law of sin. There's evil, like we learned last week, present in this. Do we struggle? Yes. And we know, we hear, go ahead and judge that person. Go ahead and tell that lie. Go ahead and look with lust. No, wait a minute. If that does occur, listen, yes, you struggle, but when you do struggle, you do so without condemnation. You say, well, Bill, I failed. I sinned. Yes. And you know what happens when you do those things? You do not break sonship or daughtership. You break fellowship. Okay, you follow me? And that means this, I sinned, Lord, I failed, I have fallen, I went to the pig pen, I shouldn't have been there, I don't know why I did it. And you know what? There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you run to the blood of Jesus, you run to the throne of grace, and you say, oh Lord, I've sinned, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Bible says that we have an advocate, you know, an advocate, an attorney, that's our Lord. He's never lost a case in heaven. In other words, when the accuser says, look what Bill has done, Jesus says, yes, and I paid for it. I paid for it. I paid for everything that he would ever do wrong, and now he is in me, and no one can ever take him out of my hands. Do you understand? This chapter is so incredible. It says that there is no condemnation, no punishment, no sentencing, if you will, to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, that is the believer's position in Christ. Our walk is different. Our position is perfect, but our walk, which is called sanctification, is progressive. Amen? From glory to glory to glory, we're changed into Christ's likeness. So in order for a true believer to lose his perfect standing before Almighty God, he has to become a Lutheran. Now, I just threw that out because I had an email. Bill, lay off the Baptist, okay? We're coming after you. Now, I love the Baptist. I love everybody. I just use their denominations. I use it as for a joke. No. Now, listen. In order for us to lose, a true believer, there's nothing wrong with those denominations. I'm not being critical. No. In order for us to lose our perfect standing before God, the only way that can happen is for Jesus our Lord to lose his perfect standing before God, because it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness that has been imputed to us, loved one. Oh, I'm so thankful. In other words, you remember how we studied that we've been placed in a brand new environment because we have been baptized, we've been baptized with him. Remember that? And I talked about the pickle. You know what I'm saying? You dip the pickle in the bapto, then you have to baptize the pickle, and you come out of the vinegar, and what are you? A pickle. No, you're a cucumber, right? Is that correct? Oh, what do you put in? Cucumber. The cucumber. No, you don't know. You can't remember what I said, but I can tell you this. You'll never be a cucumber again. Does that make sense? No, do you understand? You're in Christ now. You're immersed into him. In other words, the believer's position in Christ. Listen to me. Listen now. If it's not perfect, then Romans 8:1 is a lie. And if a true, genuine believer in Christ, I'm not talking about their faults and their mistakes and their sins, we all have blown it. The Bible says that a perfect man sins 7 times a day. Kevin's already sinned 6. You understand? No. If our position is not perfect, number one, Romans 8:1 is not true. Jesus' death was meaningless. And if any true believer who has been placed in a perfect standing of position before God the Father because he's in Christ, is ever cast into hell, the Bible is not true. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a true, genuine believer. You know, I said, oh, Lord, I don't know how you feel about that, but I thank God. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're going, now, Bill, you read Romans 8:1, but you didn't read all of it. You see, you're leaving off the most important parts. Yeah, there's no condemnation, but the condemnation is to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to really get this cleared up. And, you know, if you have a center column reference in your Bible, and if you'll look at that verse, you'll probably have a little one or an A or a B or whatever, and it'll tell you to go to the middle of your center column reference. And what you're going to find there is that this has been omitted in the best manuscripts or the NU. Do you see that? Does anybody have that? Okay, three of you. That means you probably don't have a Bible. Okay, now listen. You study that all the way out. It's not in the earliest and some of the best manuscripts. That's why it's omitted. And you say, well, Bill, why is omitted? It's omitted because then it places a condition upon the believer and not upon God who saves us. Are you understanding? In other words, listen, this is so important. This verse ends with this, in Christ Jesus. Why? No condemnation is not based upon the believer's conduct. Do you understand that? You mean I can live any way? No, you can't. If you believe that, you're lost. Yes. No, you can't believe any way you want. You've been changed. Yes. What that means, now listen again, it's not based upon the believer's conduct, but it's based upon the believer's position. We are now in Christ. He's the only one that could save us. Do we sin? Yes. Do we fail? Gosh, I wish we didn't. But therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who do. Why? Jesus paid it all. He paid all of our sin. Loved one, listen, in Adam we were condemned, but in Christ there is no condemnation. We're in him now, the perfect one. Amen? Now, we must have a higher law than the law of sin. And there it is in verse 2. Watch this now. This is so vital. It goes, for the law of the Spirit of life. You need to remember that forever. The law of the Spirit of life only found one place. In Christ Jesus, look what it has done, past tense, has made me what? Free. That word free there means a once and for all act of freedom. Has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Do you see what I'm saying? It supersedes it. We have a higher law now. Yes, the old law of sin is still trying to work in our bodies. There's no doubt about it. But the law of the Spirit of life. Now listen very carefully. This is so important that we get this. The 21st century church, we are in trouble. This is a vital word to us this morning. The law of the Spirit of life is this. It's where or when the Holy Spirit of God, he brings to the believer the very life of Christ Jesus into us. Do you understand that? The very life of Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are you following me? He brings it, the Lord, the perfect one, right into our hearts. The one who pleased the Father. Did Jesus always please the Father? Okay, now if you're in Christ, listen to me now, your position, if you're in Christ, since Jesus, everything he did pleased the Father, you've pleased the Father. Did Jesus keep the law perfectly? Yes, he's the only one who ever did. But since you are now in Christ Jesus and he lives in us, the law of the Spirit of life, eternal life, everlasting life, living life now, listen, we've kept the law. Do you understand that? I say, oh, Jesus, now wait a minute. We are in the one who never, ever sinned. Yes. And now that we are in him, our position, guess what? That means that we, when God looks at us, there is no condemnation. Why? Well, he sees us in Christ as if we have never sinned. Are you understanding that? The word justification, remember, just as if I had never, ever, ever, ever sinned. That is the believer's position. Sanctification is the believer's practice that we're walking out in our life. Totally different, okay? Now, with all that being said, we have the very life. I mean, think about this. This is not some phantom or whatever. This is Jesus, our Lord. The very life of Christ is in me. What did Jesus tell the disciples when he was going away? They all got started getting upset. Sorrow had filled their heart. And he looked, Jesus said, listen, in John 14, he said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. And then Jesus said, I will come back to you. How did Jesus come back to them? The Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus said, I will send you another me. The word another in Greek there where he was speaking that in John means another just like me. That's exactly what he's done, loved one. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, it tells us that we might live through Christ. Live because he lives in us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:11, it says that the life of Jesus, it may be also manifested in our mortal flesh, in our bodies. Peter cries out and says, listen, we are partakers of the divine nature. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever abides in him, meaning Christ, whoever lives in him, dwells in him, he lives in us, should walk even as he also walked on this earth. No wonder Paul cried out in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus lives in us. That is the law of the Spirit of life. You have a new law. You have a higher law working in you, and it is a supernatural law and a supernatural life. And yes, evil is present with me in my old, unredeemed, stinking flesh. Yes, and the law of sin is still there. But I have something better. I have the greatest, most powerful law in all of the universe. I have the new law working in me now. I have the law of the Spirit of life working in me. Remember last Sunday when I gave you that example about my eyes, for example? You know, I said, you know, I wear contacts. And if I took the contacts off, well, I would not be able to see you, okay? Which is normal for a 45-year-old man. So, are you going to laugh? You've laughed for the last 25 years. You're going to keep laughing at that joke. So what do you do? I went to the doctor, and he said, Bill, you know, you have a law in your members that says that your eyesight is now dimming. You can't see anything anymore. But I have a new law, Bill. Here it is. Put on these glasses. It will overcome the old law. And you know what? Even though the old law is still in my members, I don't ever think about the old law anymore. Do you understand? I mean, I go to sleep sometimes in my contacts because I think that my eyes are just perfect now. Does that make sense? So the new law is working in me. Why? It has overcome the old law. Yes, the law of sin is still here, but I don't have to think about it. I don't have to dwell upon it. I don't even have to acknowledge it. Why? Sin shall not have dominion. It'll not rule. It'll not be my Lord. It'll not reign over me. That is a fact. It's not a feeling that we uphold, Romans 6:14, in our hearts. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, you know, it's very important now as we look at verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, or literally what it was impossible for the law to do in the reason, in that it was weak through the flesh. The word of God, God's law, the Ten Commandments, has never been weak. We learned last Sunday, it's holy, it's just, and good. The problem is me, amen? I could never, ever keep the law, and the law could never do something. The law could never give power, in other words, change my sinful nature. The law could never make me righteous. The law could never remove my sin. The law was powerless to put the deeds of the flesh to death. It could not do it. So the thing that the law could not do under this new law that we're operating in now as a believer, what the old law couldn't do, God did. Watch what he did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean Jesus was a sinner. It means he came as a human being into this earth apart from sin. He never sinned. And why did he come? On account of sin. That means he came as a sin offering into this world. John the Baptist said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And he says, watch now. Watch what God did. He condemned sin, where? In the flesh.
Well, we're out of time for this broadcast, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We always want to say thank you for listening to the broadcast. We appreciate you so much. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.